This is simple pointer review, stuff which should be easy by now, right? Does what's on the board over here make sense on this side? Not that side.
Wait, so when you're declaring pointer, the star something, you know, the star variable, that means address, but when you're not declaring it, star means?
Means follow the arrow. Oh. Right. Star means what's inside of me if you're not declaring it.
Okay.
That is a confusing point about pointers. Yes. So let's start. What does this do? Here are my variables. Right? These are, so they got declared. What happens here? This gets 3, 4, 5. And now just to be really clear, I'm going to write the addresses. These are imaginary addresses. These are places in memory where these pointers have been given memory. So we always draw arrows, but I think it's also good to just realize that these are actually these hex values, right? So what goes in these boxes? Someone. 0x01, right? Yeah. This isn't a trick question, except that's a really ugly x. Right? Because when I declare the pointer px, it's really just another place in memory. And it's holding what's the value inside of it is the address of x. I think once you have that idea clear, it all becomes a lot easier. Like, I could technically say what's the address of px, right? Because that's just another variable. Right? Okay. So what is this?
Another pointer.
Exactly. I'm saying I don't know what the address of px is, but it is something which exists. Pointers are actual places in memory with addresses, and they're just holding hex values, which are the addresses of these other things. But they are actual things. They're not like, whatever, ghosts. Okay, so what do these lines of code do? Pz equals px.
So pz becomes 1?
Yes. Right, because, which technically means this was pointing here. Now, this was pointing here, and now it's pointing here. Okay, so what happens if I say star px equals x times y? Yeah?
Did you reassign x to 4 times 3? Like you travel along?
Right, so I travel along this. And I say, oh, it's 4 times 3. Exactly. So it becomes 12. Right? And if now I were to say, what is star PZ? What would that be? 12. Because the star, when you're not declaring, means follow the arrow as it last got arrowed. It wouldn't. Star PZ and Z now have no more connection because of this line of code. Right? If I had done before this line of code, if I had done star PZ equals star PX, would that have done the same thing? No. Right? Maybe. Okay, so next line. Star PZ equals star PY. What does that do? No, unfortunately, because of this line. See? Star PZ is now OX01. And this. So what does star PZ equals star PY do? Change the. Yes. 12 to a 4. Need an eraser. Sorry. Do you see why that is? No, PZ equals PX moved this arrow to point to here. So now, star PZ equals star PY says, follow the arrow. So now I'm here. Set that equal to what happens when I follow this arrow, which is 4. No? Yes? Maybe. And then what does this do?
Makes PZ point to Z.
Exactly. It puts PZ back where it came from. Yeah, the star and the ampersand. So, conceptually, this is like a little piece of paper with your friend's address written on it. I could copy that piece of paper and give it to you, and it would still take you to the same place if you followed it. Like, it would still take you to Science Center E. So you could actually still go to the same thing on this side. Address says, the ampersand says, here you are, what's the address of where I am? Like, I know what exists in this room, but what's its address? So basically, anything that gets declared with a star in front of it needs to hold an address, not an actual value. Right?
I'm sorry, my question is, what's the difference between PZ equal to PX and star PZ equal to star?
Oh, sorry, no, okay. So if PZ equals PX, that means what's in PZ now gets to equal PX, which, so it was 3, and now, oh, it should be 1. Star PZ equals star PX says follow PZ. Now I'm trying to assign this value. What should I assign it to? What happens when I follow PX? So that would change the 5 to a 4. Right? Yeah? And if I were to do the PX equals the address of Y, what would happen if I now said what would happen? Yeah, PX would get reassigned to point to here. But what if I did this? Should I ever do that? Is that a good thing to do? No, that was a bad thing to do. What would happen? It won't seg fault, but something weird will happen.
Would instead of 4 being in 0x01, in 0x01 you'd have 0x02?
Exactly. And that's not what you think you have there. Because this is supposed to just be a regular old int. And instead it's getting a hex value which represents a place in memory. Which is not what you want to do. Does that make sense?
So x would get, in that last line, x would get 0x02?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, and if I did... This is a very diabolical one. X equals the address of PY. You can't even tell me what that would do. Right? Because you don't know what the address of PY is. This is some other hex value over here. Because what's this line saying? It's saying assign to the variable X whatever the address of PY is. But you don't want to talk about the address of PY, because PY is already holding an address. So that would be asking where in hex is this? And does that make sense? Like, you don't want to do that? Right, you don't want to be doing that. Okay, so what line of code would I write? What are the options for how I could change whatever is in Z to whatever is in X? There's 2 ways I could assign Z to the value that's in X. Look, I want to make Z 4 and pretend Y is not 4. How could I do that? One is the obvious way. Yes. And how else? star PZ equals. Well, right, star PX, but yeah. These two right now are doing the exact same thing. Because star PZ equals Z. It's the same thing. Follow this arrow. Yeah.
Could you also do star PZ equals ampersand? No, you can't do ampersand X, can you?
If I did star PZ equals ampersand X, what would happen?
What about star PZ equals X? Can you do that?
Yeah. Okay. You could also do Z equals star PX. Because star P, these are all the same. Like, you could flip them however you want. Star PZ and Z are the exact same thing in this case. Once we already have the arrows drawn like this. Okay? So does this kind of pointer stuff make sense? Like, when we're all in one area. Yes? Speak now.
Can you keep going with that, like, that description you were giving earlier about the addresses?
Oh, yeah, sure. So, basically, every time you declare a variable, it gets some space in memory. You are then allowed to, C has this ampersand operator, which says, here's that variable, what's the address of it? Where can I go find it? Once you have an address of somewhere in this computer, anywhere you pass it to knows where that address is. It's like, once I know that I need to go to 1 Cambridge Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts, it doesn't matter how many times I copy that over, I'll get to the same place. And if I'll put a big X on 1 Cambridge Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts, anyone who goes there will see that X. That's the idea behind pointers. Right? So instead of giving you a copy of whatever is in this memory, I'm telling you how to get there yourself. Does that conceptually work? Yes. So when you're, there's three. One's multiplication. Okay. But so when you're declaring things, that means it's ready to accept an address. It means you're declaring a pointer which says, give me an address. Anything that's declared int star something says this is a variable not to hold a data piece, but to hold an address. So that means it's actually going to just be an int, because addresses are ints. Hex is int. So this data type really is an int, but don't use it like that. It's its own data type, which is address. And it'll have the same size if you want to give it an int, a char, a string, a huge thing, because it's just a little piece, which is saying, give me an address. And then you can pass those around. And the other use of star is once you have an address. So now I have something which is an address. Star will say, follow that address and go to the place where the address pointed me to. Basically, follow the arrow. Like, ampersand moves you this way, and address moves you, and star moves you this way in the picture. Other questions about this? Okay. Right, okay, so let's do one. Okay, so let's say the classic swap. How would I write a swap function using pointers, right? And why does it work? So I have int main. Pretend I wrote the right stuff here. Okay, so we're going to write this function with this declaration of x and y. I said I want sum x, y, leaving a space here on purpose. Just before we even write it, what do you think should go in these locations? Right, ampersand, right? Because ampersand says pass the address of x. Because if I didn't have the ampersand, what would happen when the new function opened? It would make a copy, right? And you could do whatever you want to that copy, but this X and Y isn't going to know about it. It's like, if I have a piece of paper with a bunch of writing on it, and you copy it and change it, my original piece of paper stays exactly the same. But if I tell you, hey, my paper's in my backpack in my dorm room, and you come and change it, it will be different. So that's what this ampersand does. It tells you where is the piece of paper to go change. Okay? So how would I write? How'd I write swap? There's not going to be enough room here. So what types does it take?
Int star.
Int star, right. And is it of any significance that I name them X and Y again? No. So what should it do? Yes.
Or an
integer. Right. And then, how do I swap them? This is more about the data type. So what we're going to want to be doing is say, give temp x values, give x y's value, and give y x's value. But what do we have? What got passed in, yeah? Right, well, right, so that's, this is a, it's the same question we had up there between z equals x and star pz equals star px. We could do it in both ways. But there's actually a little bit, do you know, we have star x, but do we actually have a name for what's inside of x? Like, do you see how up there we had, we knew star pz and we knew z? We knew that star pz pointed to a place called z. We don't know that here, right? Star X points to a variable somewhere, but we don't have like a way of talking about it, right? And are we switching pointers or are we switching values? We can make this decision. It's okay. What? Well, if we switch pointers, so here's what happened. I gave you the address of X and the address of Y. If you go home and write those two addresses on different pieces of paper, will that affect the address of X and the address of Y, which I have sitting in my room? No. So what do I have to change? The actual values. So what do I want to do? And that's why this is an int, not an int star. Right? So what do I want to do? I'm not telling. Well, okay, so vote. Temp equals X or temp equals star X? Star, right? Do we agree with that? If I was lying to you, would you tell me? What does that do? No. I mean, you probably could, because most compilers read through white space. Actually, I don't know, but no. They should be next to each other. Okay, so what does this do?
Gets the value, the address.
Right, it follows the address to the actual place and sets that equal to temp. Then we do, what's the next line? And then finally, yeah, okay. Okay, fine. Not such an interesting example. Yeah.
I know it's really ugly stylistically, but could you just do like, you know, int x, int y, and then have x equals star x, y equals star y, and then assign the, then say x equals, well, I mean, let's just say like,
wait, x equals star x, you don't want to... You mean like int a equals...
Int a equals star x, int b equals star y, and then just assign them like that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but why?
Well, I don't know, just because it's like, I don't know, it's more straightforward, but it's really ugly. Or
I mean, it's not as ugly as much as it... I mean, I just don't know the point of it. Because star X, like, you don't generally want more variables than you actually need, unless something's, like, terrible and you want to hide it.
Okay.
But does this... why this works? The idea of addresses? It's good? Okay. So... now, I think we should, do you want to talk about malloc?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. What does malloc do?
Allocates memory.
Yes, where?
The heap.
Yes, what is the difference between the stack and the heap?
Heaps at the bottom.
Maybe. I never thought about it like that. Well, all the stuff we were doing up there, where did that happen? In the stack. When you don't actually ask for memory, like the places your programs run is the stack. The heap is like the big chunk of memory in the rest of your computer. So what malloc does, it says, I want part of that heap to be part of my program on like a very straightforward level. Take part of the heap and include it in my program. So what does this do?
Finds a structure called building underscore T.
And how many fields are in this structure? Two. Yes. Now, what does this do? I'll imagine the line of code continuing off this way because I didn't have enough room. Like the malloc should be right after the building. Okay. What does this say? Just the building under bar T star part. What is that declaring?
An address or...
it's declaring a pointer to what?
Building structure.
Yeah, to something of a type. Yeah. So with this, what does typedef do?
Find a type.
Yeah, which means that, like, I could technically do... and then start declaring foo x. That would be valid, because now there is a new type in my program called foo. And now I'm allowed to just use it like I would use any other type. Now I have a variable of type foo, which is called x. So in the same way over here. Yeah. Well, x would be an int, but you wouldn't have to know that. And you wouldn't want to deal with it like you knew it was an int. It's like if you look in your problem set this week, they typed f like byte. There's no type byte, capital B-Y-T-E, in C. Typed f is a command, which it's like a preprocessor command. You put it in a .h file, and it says, here is a type which I know about. Oh, ooh, wrong order. Sorry. Sorry. Here's a type which I know about. This is built into C. Here's a type. Here's a new name for it. And now I'm allowed to use this like any other type I know, just to keep things clear. So what does this do? This says... yeah. So this is the type I know about. These are made out of all valid C things. I could go on using them like this for a long time. But I don't want to write this every time. That's kind of ugly. So what do? I'm calling all of that whole type. building under RT. So now a type exists in my program, which is called building under RT, and it has these fields. Does that make sense? Once you, now I'm allowed to use it however I want, as a type, not as an actual variable, just like that. So, we now have this. So what does that do? What does the underlined purple thing say? Ignoring the rest of this stuff.
Declares the pointer science center.
Mm-hmm. To what type?
Building
key. Yeah. It's basically saying, here's a pointer, and it's going to point to something of type building under bar T. So now it exists, yeah.
Are you okay with naming your, like, because I know you put dot to access the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with naming stuff with dots in it?
Naming, like having a variable name that has a dot in it?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, will the compiler complain at you?
Or, yeah, like, or is, like, yeah.
Probably you should avoid using C syntax in the names.
Okay.
Because it might, it will probably say that's not a struct, you can't access part of it.
Okay.
But, I mean.
I'm just curious with the sign.
Oh, that's an underbar.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
That wasn't so clear, sorry.
Awesome.
The underbar. Good question. So, the building underbar T star sign center gave me a pointer. Now, what does this thing do? Okay, well, what does malloc do on a high level?
Hey, does it return the address of the first block of size building T?
Yes. Exactly. It says, give me a chunk of memory in the heap. Let's call this address, for lack of creativity. It says, give me that format, which should be the size of a building under bar T, which this is, right? Because it can then look in and say, okay, I need an int and a string. And it'll tell me how many bytes I need. It'll give me that many bytes. And then it'll say, and I'm ready to expect this.
Even though the bytes individually have different addresses, it only gives the address of the first byte?
Right, and then they're continuous. So, like, it's like an array in that sense.
Okay.
And that it then knows where to keep looking.
What does building underscore T star do?
This says format it, like a building underscore T. So I just took 4 bytes from the heap. It has no idea what to expect unless you do that. So you will then have some piece of memory which is not formatted and then won't know how to deal with stuff like this.
So in this example, I would say that the first 4 bytes is an int, and then the rest is a string?
Yeah.
Based on the type
of? Yeah, exactly. So
that's what the formatting thing does? It sort of tells?
Yeah, it basically says what to expect when you fill it. So that, like, building under RT, so that sign center is a pointer to an actual thing, which can then be filled, not just, it knows that it's not 10 ints or 12 chars or whatever the different possibilities of memory could be. And this is the stack. And this is the heap. Right? So what do these two lines of code make sense? And it's a pointer, just like all the pointers we were dealing with up there. So this really just holds that. Right?
So sign center equals OX01?
Right now, yeah. If you were to print out sign center, yeah, you would get OX01. Now, what does this line do? Yeah.
Before malloc, we have
right. So that's to format the chunk of memory that we're biting off so that it knows what to expect, that it knows to expect an int and a string.
Do you have to use the star because there's multiple? Like, why do you have to use the star when you declare building T?
Oh, well, see, if I didn't use the star, what would I have? I would just have a building. I wouldn't have a pointer to a building.
Okay.
See, what I just declared is this thing. If I didn't use the star, would I use malloc? No, because malloc returns a pointer to memory in the heap. You can only really deal with the heap by pointer. When you just declare a variable, that's in the stack.
So like, if you knew you were just going to be using main,
mm-hmm.
you didn't care about using the heap, you could do it without the star.
Yeah, totally. I could just declare a building under RT, the way, however I wanted to. Like, I could still, right now, just say, and what would that do? That would go over here. And make that, which is the stack. No, but,
yeah.
Right, so there's a bunch of different reasons why we deal with the heap in the first place. One is that the stack's not super large. So like as you start to want to make big linked lists, you kind of use up the stack. And it gets very like tight. And also is that you want to be able to, like, you can pass things by reference within the stack, but I think it's better to do it like for big structures using this. Okay? So does the difference between these two lines make sense? Because
yeah.
I could technically even do this. And that would just make that. But it would still all be over here. The malloc brought me over here. Okay? Is the difference between these two things clear?
Yeah.
Okay. So, what does...
Why does it point to the stack? The second one points to the stack?
This one?
Yeah.
It's because you can't really get to the heap without malloc. So, you get to the heap when you call malloc. Okay, so what does this line do?
Kills that first, since it's an int of x 4 bytes, it kills the first 4 with 10.
Yeah. Right? And let's say I then did I did that. What would that do? How does that change my picture? Why shouldn't I be allowed to do that?
Because you didn't specify like which part of the... I mean, it would probably go into the string because Science Center just...
No. Well, what is Science Center right now? Which box represents Science Center?
Is it deep?
No. This is Science Center is a pointer.
Okay.
So Science Center is just this thing. So what's X? It's a pointer to here. It's the same thing as when I did PZ equals PX. Right? Do you see why those two things are the same? Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah.
How come we don't have like an and before science?
Well, because what is Science Center?
It's a building.
It's a building T star. It's a pointer to a building T. If I put an ampersand here, what would that do to my picture?
Make the address of that.
Yes.
Of the pointer.
Exactly. It would point here.
Yeah.
Does that clarify what's going on? And now if I did what would happen? Exactly. That's the thing about the heap is that you're less likely, like, you can't pass by value, really. You would have to malloc for another science center to actually have one, so you're not gonna, this is pointing to the same place, follow it, change it. Okay? Does this kind of make sense? What's, yeah? Oh, that's just like a precedence thing. That we want it to know, don't try to take x dot num rooms and then the star of that. There's actually a neat shortcut, which I'm sure you guys, have you seen it, the arrow?
Yeah.
This is equivalent to that. It's just that you're so often doing this that they put in a new piece of syntax, which is this. Like a point of interest. Doesn't have any code significance.
Wait, would X arrow of number rooms equals 100?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
What, yeah.
And so what is that? Is that just a hyphen?
A hyphen and then a brackety thing. I mean, whatever, triangle. But is it obvious, is it clear why this is this, what this does? It dereferences the pointer and then moves into the struct. Okay? So, now, linked lists. What do you guys know about linked lists? Like, what do you think of them as?
Not much.
Not much.
You're pretty interested on Monday, I'm not sure, right?
I believe so. Do you have other questions about other things? Like when I asked them, what should I teach in topic section, in super section, they said, see what people are interested in learning about. So I'm happy to do linked lists unless there's more stuff from a while ago or from this problem set that you're thinking about. Like, why'd you come? What do you expect me to tell you? Okay, to linked lists. Speak up if you have any. Linked lists?
Yeah.
But is everything we did so far really, does it make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because you can't understand linked lists unless that all makes sense. Okay. So, when I say a linked list, what is it a list of? Right, but really, I mean, yes, but structs. Pointers to structs. So let's say I was going to define a linked list. I would need to start with what I'm linking together. So like, it would be nice to just link an int to an int to an int, right? But the thing is, I need a data structure to wrap that in. I can't just do it. I need to have some way of holding the int. So let's say I wanted to make a linked list of integers. The first thing I would have to do is define something to hold them. So that means, who can tell me what the first word I was about to write is? Yeah. I love these chalks. Okay, type def. Next word. Yeah. Okay. Now the next thing is gonna might come a little bit out of left field. Where? Like at the above main or in a .h file?
Yeah. Where would you do it?
Above main or in a .h file? Okay, so what's going on over here? If anyone could tell me what any part of it does, that's also good. Yeah. You could choose.
Inside your thing, you're going to have an integer and a pointer.
Yes. Now, why did I put this? I did not put that over there, right? So why did I do that? Well, it probably has something to do with this. What you said? So you said this is a pointer. What is this a pointer to? Another struct of type list underbar t. Basically, what a linked list is a bunch of things, a bunch of structs of the same type. Linked to each other. So this has to be the same thing as this. What did I name this structure? Over here. Yes. The problem is that it only got named over here. So the fact that I want my pointer to point to one means that I need to give it some sort of dummy name so that I can call it inside of its own definition.
Why would you just do int star next?
Well, because then what would that point to? Yes, but then what would that point to? They need to be defined so that each one has something inside of it to point to something else. If I did that, I would just get my nice little structure pointing to an int, and then it would be over. This can go on infinitely.
Wait, so the name of, so what is the name of the structure? Is it underbar list?
No, it's list underbar t. This is just a stupid name, which by definition is by convention is the same name with an underbar in front of it, so that over here I can refer to myself because I haven't been really defined yet.
Is that kind of like pseudo recursion?
Yeah, it's a little. It feels a little bit like recursion. It has that idea to it, and that I'm defining it with the future in mind, so that it can keep going on and on and on. And that's why linked lists are cool, because you can make as many items as you want. I could remove this and reset this pointer to this guy. And it's dynamic like that. And this is really why people want the heap, because you cannot keep so many of these around on the stack without problems. So, what does this then do, this whole definition over here? What did I define?
Data structure.
A data structure, which is a struct, and it has two fields in it, right? How many bytes would this be? What would size of this be? That's a hard question.
Eight.
Yes, why?
It has int is four and struct is four.
No.
Or no, not struct, sorry. A pointer is
four. Exactly. Because I could say, wait a minute. Then it has infinity, because if it has the whole next struct in it, but the next struct has 4 plus itself, and that has 4 plus itself, and that would just go on forever. So it has 8, because this is really just, again, an address. We like to draw them as arrows, but it's really just an address. Or room for an address. It's not an address yet. Okay?
Wait, so an address is always 4 bytes?
Yeah, because an address is a hex thing, and a hex is int. Like you can declare, to declare a hex value, you could do int x equals 0xff.
Why Why don't you have like long pointers or really long bits of like?
Well, because I don't know how big your computer is, but it probably doesn't have more than 2^32 - 1 actual places. So if they make very big computers one day, then maybe we will start to need that. Yeah. But
I was thinking,
right.
So memory locations are no longer than 4 bytes?
I believe so, unless they really are long, then someone's been not telling me about it, but.
Why we can't have more than 4 gigabytes of memory in a 32-bit system? Is that kind of the idea?
They could make memory longer, but I don't know, but I guess, maybe. But just that's just good to realize about these, that this isn't actually another struct, it's a pointer. It's room for the address of another struct. Okay? So now how would I get myself one of these? Like, so now we just have a type which exists. How do I get one? Right, but let's say I really want to make a linked list, and I want to do it in the heap.
You'd have to do list underscore T star.
Yeah, here's your malloc declaration practice.
Malloc size of?
Well, first, the typecast, right?
Malloc size of list T.
Yes. Right? And is it clear what that line does?
Yeah.
And it returns a pointer. Okay, cool. So, where?
Just with the whole line.
This line, right.
Yeah,
so.
I guess I get malloc.
Do you understand this structure thing?
Yeah.
So, this says, I want a variable called list of type list _t. And what do I want to put there? The address on the heap of size of list _t bytes formatted to hold a list _t. Yeah, so basically list is going to hold some hex value, some address. And then now that I'm thinking about it, the addresses might be more than just ints. I'm not sure, so don't quote me on that. And they might be bigger than ints. I haven't checked recently, so. But the principle remains the same. It's an address, not. Okay, so. Does this line make sense?
Yeah.
So now, what do I have in terms of this kind of picture? Okay. I just have an empty thing. There's no values in it.
Okay. And that's in the heap, right?
Yes. Okay, so we're going to take a break for 2 minutes and then finish. We don't know anything.
Okay.
Like, if I was writing a quiz for the class right now, I would think this was a good thing. I'd also think recursion was a good thing. So we could do examples of that if you want.
Yeah, could we do some
recursion? Yeah, yeah. So let's just finish this. And then, whatever. So, now I have, I wonder teachers are always getting confused by these things. So, how would I fill? I now have a thing called list. I want to put stuff in it. What happens? Oh, first of all, after malloc, do you know what the classic lines of code are that you put after malloc? Well, yeah, but right after, you write if list. equals null. Clearly, however you want to throw your error. That's not code.
Like, aren't you going to have, like, list one, list two, list three, list four for all your different things?
Right? You could. It's however you want to define it.
But, like, let's say you have, like, let's say we declare another one. It'd have to be, like, something other than list. So it'd be, like, list one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't give them all the same name.
Okay, right.
But you don't necessarily want to work like that. Because, like, let's say I don't really care about this guy's independent existence. I just care that he comes after this guy.
Right.
So let's say this was one, and this was two. And ignore that one for a minute. Because, so first of all, how do I get the one in there in the first place? How do I make, so this is list. List arrow what?
X.
Yes. Good. So I put the one in there. Now, how do I get the next link? This is a little crazy, but.
Do you need to point to first?
Well, I could do it like this if I really wanted to. You don't always want to do it like this, but. Yeah? Okay, here, yeah. No. So, what was next supposed to hold? List. Right. So far we had this. And this little area over here is saying, I want to hold the address of some other thing of the same type. So what we did over there is said, okay, here's a new thing of the same type, and then I put its address in here. So I basically just drew this arrow. And then let's say I wanted to set this value to 2. How would I set this guy's X to 2.
Can you do like star list star or list? Like, can you just take the underlined portion and put a star in front of it? And then
yes. And then, but then what would that give me? If I took this and put a star in front of it, what would that take me to? That would take me to this entire struct, right? Right, which is the same as an arrow. Yeah. So I can actually do and it could get crazy from here, basically.
Is it wrong to go like let's say if you wanted to assign the next one's next, can you go list arrow next, arrow next?
These arrows are infinite. Go.
So that's okay. Like,
yeah, but I mean, you don't want to go for so long. At some point, you could end up looping on these things. And you'll see more of that later. I'm not going to do all of linked lists, but does this make sense? What's happening here?
So 2 would go into.
Yeah. 2 would go here. And this would just be, this would actually right now be garbage. You wouldn't want to leave this like this. You always want to fit, like, right now I just have a pointer to nowhere. So what I would really want to do, if let's say that was all that I wanted.
Is that insecure code?
Yes.
Okay.
It's just bad. It will lead you to I mean, it doesn't have to lead you to seg fault, but it could very easily. So you would want to do something along the lines of list. And that would then get rid of this arrow to nowhere. Just make this empty. So does that, and it's just important to realize that every time you call malloc, you're getting another one of these structures. So if I wanted to rename this guy, like right now this guy has no name. Its only identity is as this guy's next. So I could give it a name, but I wouldn't need a malloc for it because it's already been mallocked for. You only call malloc when you want another one. Right? Sort of. Yes? So this is basically singly linked lists. And then wait, what would happen if I wanted to, after every call to malloc, you need at some point a call to free. Now, if I freed list right now, what would happen? Yes. This guy would be lost to memory and it would be bad. It would just be there. It would be there, and you would have no way of getting to it, and it would just be like using a memory that another program can't use because you forgot to free it. So that's something to always be cognizant of when you have these long lists, to know what you're freeing and what you're not.
Will you just follow if you accidentally free something that's not there? Or is it
just kind of... I don't know if it'll say errors, seg faults, but something bad will happen to you probably. I don't know which error you'll get, but it might be like a fatal error. There's a lot of choices of errors.
It has to be redundant.
Yes, you don't want a free thing. You want one malloc to one free, not one to five or five to one. One to one, yeah.
When you malloc something, so you take memory from the heap, but does it like stay in the heap?
As opposed to going where?
To the stack.
Well, memory can't walk.
Okay.
Memory is static. So when you, we call it taking memory. But it's really just like saying, I'm using this memory right now. It's like going over and putting a flag on it. It's not going anywhere. Your computer is stationary. It's saying, take these registers and like no one else use them because the information I'm putting in them, I want to see it again later. So if like while you were running one program, another program came and messed with the memory it thought it had, that would be bad because they would get their wires crossed, literally. Okay? So does this stuff make sense? The linked list situation? Yeah, okay, so recursion? All right. Running out of boards. Oh, no, shoot. So what is the classic okay, this is like a really big room. Recursion example.
They did the Fibonacci sequence.
Right, but what's easier than that? Right, or so let's do factorial, because whatever, we could. Why does it make sense to define factorial recursively? What does it mean to define something recursively?
Like, to call itself.
Yes, but like in your brain, when you're thinking, this function should be recursive, you're not going to say, I think it should call itself. You're going to say, hey, this looks like a big thing in which I repeat steps. This is a big problem. I have to do something and then do the same thing that I did to the whole thing to a smaller part. So that's why factorial lends itself to recursion so nicely. Because what's 5 factorial?
5 is ordered.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you can, but there's some most things you could do recursively or iteratively, but there are examples of things which are really cool when you do them recursively. And like sometimes, like you'll see in a few weeks, you'll be doing recursive things on linked lists, and it's craziness. So, what is 4 factorial? All right. So really, what was 5 factorial in the first place? Exactly. Which means, how would I code factorial?
Pseudocode or?
No, real code. Let's do it.
Ah. Void main.
Well, void. Okay, void main, fine, but.
I mean,
like, okay, so let's just write the actual factorial thing and assume whoever's calling it is doing a fine job. Like, pound include standard IO. Okay, so int, I mean, I'm assuming it's returning an int, right? If it returns void, then what did you just do with your program, right? Just as I should show you guys with my section, I wrote recursive sorts, like, for your guys' homework last week. So if you want to do that after this, there are more complicated recursive examples. Because recursion is cooler than just factorial. I don't want to write it on the board. Okay, so what arguments does it take?
X, or
in
X.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
Like X times factorial X.
Factorial.
Like
well, there's two parts to recursive functions. There's a base case and a recursive step, right? So what's the base case?
If x is greater than 0.
Well, if x is greater than 0, then it will always... I'm hoping you're not passing me less than 0 x's. Well, if x is greater than 1, then factorial of 5 will be 5. What about...
If x is less than 0, or if x is less than 1.
Which one?
1.
Well, what about if x equals 1?
Okay, fine. Well, you do less than or equal to, or just less than 1.
Right. Well, the truth is it different if they do a negative number? Like, this is just a code question in general. If someone gave me factorial of negative 5, what should I do to them?
Give them an error.
Right. But if someone gave me factorial of 1, I don't want to give them an error.
Just return.
Right.
So it should be less than 1.
Right. And that will say... What is 0 factorial? Oh, so then...
Yeah, but don't you have to code... Well, couldn't you just code in a special case?
Well, in a second. We're going to.
Okay.
So if I, this is kind of actually like a question that we had on the first quiz. So if x is less than 0, then what? Whatever, error. I know this isn't real code, but like printfing and whatever is not. And return. Whatever, negative 1, let's say. So that got rid of people who are messing with my program. This might not have been the best design choice, but we'll talk about that in a second. Now, what's the next thing?
While.
Well, that if you were doing it iteratively, you would have a while loop. Here, we will not have a while loop. What?
Is it another if?
Yeah. So now, so this is our error case. What's the next thing we need?
Base case.
Yeah. So if remember, what's the outline of our function going to be? If it's 1, then do what? And if it's bigger than 1, then do what? Right. So let's just say if x is... Because if it's negative, it already returned. So what does this take care of? 1 and 0. Right? Return what? Okay. Now what? Well, do I need an else? Just in terms of design? Sorry. Do I need an else? No, because it already returned. Well, what do I want to do now?
You want to multiply.
Well, I want to multiply x by what?
X times x minus 1.
Well, yes. What do I want to do with this?
Return.
Right. This is what's tricky about recursion. Returning. You have to mentally somehow. Okay. It doesn't want to go back up. Mentally figure out what am I returning? Like, what's the goal of my function? So in factorial, it's kind of obvious, right? What do I want to return is x times the factorial of x minus 1, because that's how I figured out. 5 factorial is just 5 times 4 factorial. And it will just keep building on itself. Right? Okay, so I don't know how to set up my computer, but I kind of want to. Do you want to keep doing recursion, right? Do you have any other questions?
I'm pretty good. Oh, you were very difficult. Yeah, I'm fine on whatever.
Yeah, I'm saying like I'm here, you're here. I don't care what we talk about. If there's other things that have been bothering you, we can talk about that. If not.
It's recursion, you're not being
good. Okay, so.
But what about, like, in the context of recursion, like, stuff that you think is, like, you know, particularly, like, tricky?
Right, I'm trying to think about it.
Just, like, stuff that maybe, like, Malin would like to see
put
like,
on a midterm.
Or, like, if you were writing it, what would you think?
So, truth is, I think we should do a recursive sorting question, and I'm not going to take out my... Actually, I'm just going to take out my computer and look at it myself, and then we'll do it on the board together. I just want to mess up. So, sorry. But, so, do you want to do insertion sort or bubble sort? Do you know what the difference is?
I know.
So we could do bubble sort. Doesn't matter. Yeah, basically you find the smallest, bring it to the front, and then sort the rest.
Okay.
So do you see why that would inspire me to say, hey, let's implement that recursively?
So you would like keep sorting, so you would send the list that hasn't been sorted back through the sort again.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's the kind of thing where it's not obvious. I mean, you guys all implemented your sorts very well iteratively last week. But if you think about it, what is sorting? And what's bubble sort? Right, I go through and swap, and then I do that again. So anytime when you're saying do that again, you have two choices, loop or recursion.
But like, I think it makes more sense in the iterative search than the iterative sort.
I mean, your personal opinions, you know.
No, I mean, like, is there like an overt reason?
Why would you want to do bubbles?
Elegant.
To do recursion?
Yeah.
No, you don't have to. Like, I mean, I don't think that we have enough concepts at hand for real, like, recursive things.
Yeah.
Like, if you take CS51, then the whole class becomes recursion, and it's very cool. But, like, the kinds of things, and once you have linked lists, recursion also becomes more useful. In arrays, it's a little awkward to do recursion. So, like, if you don't want to, it's fine. But if you should still understand it as a concept.
Yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I mean.
In our coding.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a nice thing to do. You don't have to ever. Sometimes it'll hit you and it'll be like, this is just a recursive situation. Oh, and the reason that this might not be so pretty is because this is now checking for an error every single time. Factorial is going to get called how many times? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So we checked for an error n times. We could have just checked for it once. We could have made sure that what got passed in was non-negative and then done it. Right?
How would you do that in the scope of the function,
though? Oh, you can't. That's the thing about recursive functions is that if you wanted to do that, you would have to maybe either make another function, like a helper function, or do it in main. Because recursive functions, anything that's in them will happen as many times as you let them get called. So, So insertion sort, recursively, so sorry. All right. Oh, it's called selection sort, sorry. Okay, so how would you think that we should go about this? Might not happen. Like, so what do I want to do? I want to go through the list, pick the smallest number, bring that to the front of the list, and then do what?
Like send the part of the list that you haven't sorted yet through the same function.
Right. So if I had a linked list, that would be beautiful. But as we don't really have linked lists yet, and we have arrays, is this still possible?
You can declare a new array. That's probably not sufficient.
That's not super great. Maybe I could have an int that I pass around that each time I increment by one. And that's telling me where to start in the array. See, that's what's... The trick of recursion is figuring out what to call it on. Some things stay the same and some things change. And then the whole scope kind of becomes different. Okay, so... I'm not gonna have time for this. So just doing the actual recursive function, ignoring main. What do you think this kind of thing should return?
Array.
Well, are we returning an array or are we changing the array that we have?
Changing.
Yeah. So does it have to return anything? Right?
Arrays you don't have to pass by reference, right?
Right, because arrays are pointers.
Okay.
So arrays, in their definition, just get passed like that.
So you don't have to worry about scoping with arrays?
I mean, I don't want to say never, because sometimes you do, but in general, you're safe. So we have, so what is it returning?
Nothing.
Right. Okay, so what does it need?
Like an integer and an array.
Right, so first we need an array of ints. Whatever, however big it is.
You have to declare it.
Oh, no, I just like to.
Oh, okay.
Personal thing. I think so, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, and then what else do we need?
An int.
What is this int for?
Like starting point.
Right.
In the array, or the sort, so like whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. And then we also need to know what else? How big it is.
Can you just do size of?
Size of the array?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, I guess, but like...
No,
don't do that. Because it would be 4 times that, because it would be how many bytes it. No. I mean, probably technically you could, unless...
Yeah, because like in class today, you were talking about how you can do like size of nums max, or size of nums divided by size of nums 1.
Whoa. Yes, okay, so you can. I feel weird about that, but you definitely could, I guess. But for our purposes, let's pretend someone clever did that before starting our function. Okay? So... what is it doing? What's the first thing we have to do?
See if it's sorted.
Right, well, I mean, this doesn't actually let you do that. In that it wants to look through the whole array each time. Like, this is always, in terms of big O, selection sort is always n squared. Right? So the first thing we want to do is find the
smallest.
Right, so you know what? Time is short, so int x equals smallest. Meaning, I am assuming you are clever enough to loop through the array from start to end and assign smallest. Do you think you can handle that? It would mean a... It's a for loop from I equals start, I is less than or equal to end, I plus plus, I mean I is less than end, not less than or equal, I plus plus, and then what you would do is every time you would say, is this less than what used to be my smallest? And if it is, then reassign smallest to that. And if it's not, then you're good. So now I know what the smallest number is. What would I do after that?
Then you'd say start plus plus.
Oh, wait. And I also, in the point of, during that loop, I also saved where smallest is in the array.
Oh. So then you put small, like, so you put smallest at num start, and then, or put num start at where smallest is and smallest at where. So you need a temporary.
Right. It's that swapping thing.
Yeah.
So let's say I swapped them, and then the recursive part. So dot, dot, dot. I now have swapped them, and I have this array. My array is now sorted by one.
So then you call sort nums, or you call sort nums, and then two, and then one.
Sort nums what?
Whatever. Sort nums, then you have one.
Well, this is tricky. If I do one.
So it's start.
Plus one.
Oh, you don't actually increment start. Like, is it wrong to increment start in the.
Well, if you can keep track of it, then you can. But part of this insertion sort thing, I mean selection sort, I don't know why I keep calling it that, is that you have to always start one more down the line.
Right, but could you do, like, before you called sort again, could you just do start plus plus?
Yes.
Okay.
But you could also do it in the call, just for fun. And end. Now, what is the base case? Oh, well, first of all, what?
Return
here, right? Yeah. Okay. Now.
If.
What's the base case?
If start is less than. No, start is less than end.
Start will always be less than end.
Or start is greater than end, or not greater.
Equal.
Yeah, there you go.
In between less than and greater than is? What do I do?
Return one or something.
Return, well... So if I return nothing over here, why did I return something down here? No, I should have. What is this? What does this end up returning to me? This is of type void.
But like, why did you need to do it in the first place?
Why did I need to do it in the first place?
Why do you, if it's of type void, then why do you have to do it in return?
Well, the truth is, I could not.
Okay.
And then at some point, because the point is, actually, whoa. No, I do have to. Sorry. Because it needs to return back up. This is the important part about recursion. So what happens?
Is it void, though? Then?
Yes, it really is of type void. So here is sort. While sort is going, what happens? It makes a new sort. So here is this new function. Then it calls it one more time. We have, how long is my list if this is the situation? Three. This is one, this is two, this is three, and now it reaches here, start equals equals end. So it returns. But now this guy has to return. Every level to move backwards, this is what's confusing about recursion, so I'm glad we bumped into it. Every level that returns has to have a return statement. Like, to get rid of each one of these boxes needs to say return. So this guy just got return semicolon. So now he got out of here. And never mind, our array has already been dynamically changed. Our array is good. Our array is what I want it to be by this point. And it's sitting there in memory, everyone's happy. But now this guy got out of here. If there's no return statement here, this guy will just sit here. It needs to have a return so that I can do that.
So, like, even if you have a void, you can still return stuff?
Yeah, you can return void. Return, like, this is equivalent to this.
Oh, so you're just saying that to exit with sort.
Okay. So, with this, so what is sort, what does this whole line turn out into in the program? It's just a void.
But if you just have, like, after sort, if you just had return underneath it, would that work too?
It probably would. I don't think it would be any different. I will check.
Then you don't have to worry about, like, lines.
No, it's a good call. I don't actually, it should. Oh. No, it doesn't. And this is why. It needs... I'm trying to think of how to explain this. So, we were here. Like, my computer's infinite looping right now. Because I did that to it. So, it needs to... Like, so what happens is sort gets called. It then goes into another loop of sort. It needs to be returning this actual thing, or else the return will just get caught up here. Does that make any sense?
But, like, even so, it is returning something, you know, it is void.
Yes. Like, returning void isn't the same as not returning. Okay. Like, just because a function returns void, you could not return at the end of it, and it'll just exit, but sometimes you do need that return statement. I mean,
is that bad? Like,
I mean, no, don't do that, because sort doesn't return an int. Yeah. Your program, your functions need to return a logical.
But, like, why does main need to do this? Like, why does main need to be int instead of void?
Not just, like, that's like a convention of the world. Not for a particularly good reason. Yeah, it's, like, really upset. So, basically, just try to be as, like, high level about your return statements as possible. Like, in your brain, what is it doing? And you will have, like, this is something which I'm sure everyone's going to get wrong on the test, because it's very confusing, and, like it still is confusing as long as you've been, like, returning void, especially in recursion. But, yeah. Okay? But does, like, the picture work out? Okay, cool. I mean, do you have any other questions? Okay, thanks for coming. Good night.
Thank you.
No problem.
That's good. The lucky two.
Yeah.
Ace the midterm.
What?
The lucky two get an ace the midterm.
So that just goes basically, so does that one sort the first one first, or does it go to the back, and then how does that work?
Wait. Sorry, what?
Does that one sort the first one first, or, like...
It looks... Yeah. It picks out the smallest one, puts it at the front, and then deals with the rest.
Okay.
Picks out the smallest one, puts that at the front, deals with the rest.
The start plus one is the array.
Yeah, it's where in the array it's going to start searching. Okay. Thank you for coming. Sorry, what?
How do you access the array in the main function?
How do you access the array that you passed in after you call sort will just be the sorted array. Because it doesn't return, because it actually gets changed in memory.
How come it gets changed in memory?
Because it's a pointer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Cool.